Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2022 is our year to advance. Come on, it is our year to advance. And what are we advancing into? Here at North Point, we've said that we are going to advance into abundance. We are going to advance into the full life that Jesus said we could have. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The reason I have come is that you might have life, and then you might have it to the full until it overflows." Jesus came for us to live the abundant life. And so as we came into 2022 and we say, okay, that's what we want to advance into, how are we going to do that? And so we said we need to get intentional about three things. We need intentional discipleship, which we've called grow. We need intentional generosity, which we've entitled give. And we've said we need intentional hospitality, which we have said is gather. And so right now we are concluding our series, our Grow, Give, Gather series. Come on, why don't you say that with me? Say grow, give, gather. That's what we're doing this year in 2022. That is going to be our priority. How are we growing? We're growing in Bible class that we've started now on Wednesday nights. We're growing in our Grow You classes that you can sign up and be a part of throughout the year. We are going to be generous. We're going to do more than we've ever done in our back to school 2022, a uniform for every kid in the seven or eight schools now that we have adopted. Man, so many things that are happening. We want to live in intentional generosity and then intentional hospitality. Destin and I have been talking about that the last couple weeks, and we've talked about the importance of community, but not just being a part of community, but also hosting the community. And this is what we say. We said it's going to take intentional discipleship, intentional generosity, intentional hospitality if we want to advance. And now we have to understand this, that intentional means more than just having good intentions. Right? We all know, I think we would all agree with John Maxwell. John Maxwell said this, "Good intentions have never changed anything." Can somebody say amen to that? Good intentions have never changed anything. Change can start with a good intention, but we all know for change to become a reality, that intention must be followed up by action. And we know that you don't advance by chance, right? You don't advance by chance. The literal definition of the word advance that we've been using this year is to move forward in a purposeful way, right? We've said that everybody's moving forward. Why? Because time is moving forward. The earth is moving forward. Everybody is moving forward, but not everybody is moving forward in a purposeful way. And that's the difference between existing and advancing. Everybody is existing, but not everybody is advancing. Why? Because not everybody is living on purpose and with purpose. But we don't advance by chance. We don't advance by just saying, well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping my marriage gets better. I'm hoping my finances improve. I'm hoping that that situation resolves itself, right? I'm not going to advance by chance. Can you live in the promises of God? Can you live the abundant life? Yes. Can you get in a boat and go from San Diego to Hawaii? Yes. But neither of these things is going to happen just through hoping. We're not going to get in the boat, throw up the sails, and just hope that we land on Maui. It's not going to happen. And guess what? You can't just live this life and just hope that things resolve themselves and just hope that you grow and just hope that you give and just hope that you gather and just throw up the sails in life and just hope that you end up there, because we know we are not going to advance through just hoping or through good intentions. That's why we started the year. What are we talking about? Our stance to advance. Our stance to advance, because there is a posture, there is a position that we need to get in if we want to advance. Now, in sports, right, the stance is important because of what comes next. The stance is not important necessarily by itself. Nobody got in a good stance and the referee went and said, oh, that's 2 points right there, man. I mean, that is one great stance. Touchdown. I mean, did you see the stance that guy got in? No, it doesn't work that way. Why is the stance important? The stance is important because of what is about to happen next. That's why the stance is important. Well, it's the same in life. The stance is important. Just because you get in a great stance, a great mental and emotional position, as we've been talking about this year, just because you get in a great stance, that's not the end all be all. You get in the stance, why? Because you want to advance. That's why we've said the pillars for our stance to advance in 2022 is to pursue excellence and practice resilience. Why? Because those are action oriented. I am pursuing excellence, and then I'm going to practice resilience. I'm going to pursue excellence and practice resilience. So our stance isn't just about the stance. Our stance is about what comes next, because what comes next is most important. Why? Because that's where the action happens. The stance, you're there just for the quarterback to say, hunt, and now we got to go. That's why it's important, and it's the same in life. You got to get in a great stance because of what comes next. Now, for each and every one of us, so we would say, okay, how do I get from where I am right now to where I want to go? Now, I hope that everybody in this room has somewhere where they want to go. Something in their life that they're looking at saying, man, I want to get better at this. Man, I want to improve this. Man, I want to get stronger at that. I hope today that there is somewhere, something in life that you really, really want to improve, a place you want to go. So how do you get from where you are now to where you want to go? The way that we do that is by creating an action plan. Say action plan. Okay, so now what we are going to specifically call that today, we're going to refer this today as our game plan to advance. Our game plan to advance. Now, here's what you need to know. Everybody in this room needs a good GPA. All right, now some of you just got your heart, your heart started beating a little fast, like good GPA. Well, my GPA wasn't too good. I'm going to give you a chance at redemption. Because I'm not talking about your grade point average. I'm talking about your game plan to advance. Everybody needs a good game plan to advance so that we might live the life that Jesus died for us to have. Why? Because we all know that what John Maxwell said is true. Good intending doesn't lead us to abundant living. Good intending, we can have the best of intentions, but the best intentions do not lead us to abundant living, the life that Jesus died for us to have. That's why we got to have a good GPA. That's why you got to have a game plan to advance in your growing. You need a game plan to advance in your giving. You need a game plan to advance in your gathering, because those things are not just going to happen. Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Solomon writes these words and he says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Now that Hebrew word that you use right there, it's not just talking about financial wealth. No, the word prosperity, it actually means a successful, thriving and flourishing condition. A successful, thriving and flourishing condition. So he says, hey, good planning and hard work is going to lead to a successful, thriving and flourishing condition. We could say that good planning and hard work is going to help move us closer to advancing into the abundant life. He says, but hasty shortcuts, they're going to lead to poverty. That definition for the word poverty right there is literally a deficiency of necessary qualities. So whenever you cut corners, what you are creating in your life is an insufficiency. When you are making hasty shortcuts to try to get ahead in life, whenever you're like, okay, well, I know God said this is important, but I'm going to try it this way. Whenever you try to take a shortcut in life, it is going to lead you with deficiencies. It's going to leave you with insufficiencies in your life. I want you to notice that Proverbs 21 doesn't say that good intending And waiting to see how things are going to go leads to prosperity. That's not what it says. It doesn't say good intending, it says good planning. It doesn't say just waiting to see how things work out. No, it says hard work, not waiting, but hard working. It leads to prosperity. But every one of us are guilty of saying things like this, right? We've all said, well, I mean, I intended to get started, right? I intended to finish that project that's still sitting in my garage, right? I intended to start working out on that treadmill that I put in my office, right? I was intending to make some changes, right? Why do we get so caught up in our intentions? And I believe it's this, because our good intentions make us feel better about ourselves, but they don't make things better for ourselves. Good intentions make us feel better about us, because I was intending to start, I was intending to finish, I was intending to improve, I was intending. So it makes my intentions make me feel better about myself, but the reality of it is that my intentions are not making anything better for myself. So we know that there needs to be a plan. There needs to be a plan, and then we need to work that plan, that this is part of the process that leads us into this full, flourishing, overflow, abundant condition that we want to live in. And now before you would just start saying, wait a minute, is this some Franklin Covey seminar that I didn't know I was coming to? Like, we're going to break out our planners. It's like, I thought I was coming to church, and I didn't know that this was like. No, before you go there, let me just say this. Plans are important to God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God has plans. And if God has plans, they must be good and they must be important. The scripture says in Jeremiah 29:11, this is what God says, for I know the plans I have for you. God has a plan for you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans to prosper you. God wants to bring you, and remember, it's that same word right there, that prosper, that prosperity. God has a plan to bring you into a successful, thriving, and flourishing condition. That's God's plan for you. He doesn't have a plan to harm you. He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan to give you hope, and he has a plan to give you a future. God has a plan for your future. He wants you to have a good future. He wants you to live the abundant life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, this is what he says. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us brand new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he what? He planned for us long ago. God wants to bring you along in this journey with Jesus so that you can fulfill and accomplish the plan that he had for you before you ever showed up on this planet. God had a plan. So if God has plans for us, shouldn't we be figuring out a game plan to fulfill his plans? If God has a plan for your future, if God has a plan for the good works that he has for you to do, if God has a plan for your family, shouldn't we put some time and effort into figuring out a game plan to fulfill his plans? See, Jesus tells some stories. He actually tells multiple stories. We call these parables. Jesus tells these stories. He tells these parables. And a lot of these stories and parables that he tells are about people who did not have a good GPA. They didn't have a good game plan to advance. And in Matthew chapter 25, he actually tells a few of them. And he tells the story of these 10 bridesmaids. And they were going to meet the bridegroom. And the 10 go, and he says there were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. They all show up to meet the bridegroom, but the bridegroom was a little delayed in his coming. And as he finally arrives, by the time he's going to arrive, the 5 foolish bridesmaids, they're running out of oil for their lamps. And they turn to the one who had the extra oil, and they say, will you give us some of yours? They said, no, we don't know when he's coming back. We have prepared. And while the 5 foolish bridesmaids had to go get oil, the bridegroom's returns. They had all the same intention. They showed up. Why? Because they wanted to meet the bridegroom. The intention was there. But what was missing? The preparation. They didn't have a good game plan to advance into what was possible. In Matthew 25, Jesus continues telling stories. And he tells a story about these three servants. He says that there were three servants, and the master was going away on a long trip. And before he left, he gave one servant 5 bags of silver, gave another servant 2 bags of silver, and he gave another servant 1 bag of silver. The master was gone for a long time, and when the master returned, he met with the one who he had given 5 bags of silver, and the man says, I took those 5 bags of silver, and I invested them, and I got 5 more bags of silver. Here are 10 bags of silver. And he says, hey, the master said, you did a great job. Well done. Then the man who had 2 bags of silver, he says, hey, I took those bags, and I went to work. That's what he says. He put them to work, and he turned those 2 bags of silver into 4 bags. He gained 2 more. So he gives them to the master. He says, you gave me 2. Now I give you 4. He says, hey, you did a good job. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Then he gets to the one who had 1 bag of silver. And that guy who had 1 bag of silver, he buried it in the ground. He hid it. He said, master, you gave me 1 bag, and I give you 1 bag back. I hid it in the ground. And he has all of these excuses. Why? And he says, man, you could have taken that and just put it in the bank. You could have gotten just a little bit of interest. And the master is so upset with this servant. Why was he upset? Because he had no plan. He got 5 bags of silver and he invested. He had a plan and he worked the plan and he got 5 more. He gave 2 bags of silver. He went out and he went to work and he made some business deals and he started turning got an operation going, started turning that in, and he had something to give. But this guy who had 1, he had no plan for what to do with what God gave him. And this is how Jesus closes out that story in Matthew 25, verse 29. He says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. He says, if you use well what you've been given, you'll end up with an abundance. You'll end up with a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition when you use well what you've been given. What is Jesus saying? When you have a plan and you work the plan. When you have a plan and you work the plan, then you can live in abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. He says, when you don't have a plan and you don't work the plan, the little that you have will be taken away. You see, I don't want to get to the end of 2022 and say, well, I intended to advance this year. I mean, I was real excited in January. I mean, I was there when Pastor Philip announced that word, that this was our year to advance, and I had intentions of advancing. And then when he said, this is how we're going to do it, we're going to grow, we're going to give, we're going to gather, I intended to grow. I mean, I really did. I intended to give. I intended to gather, to be a part of community, to host other. I intended to, but I just never did. I don't want to get to the end of 2022 and that to be my story. I want to get to the end of 2022 and not say I intended to. I want to get to the end and say I did. I did advance. My marriage advanced. My relationships advance. My business advance. I advance. I want to get there and say, I grew and I gave and I gathered. I want to say that's what I did. And that's why we got our motto for 2022 is I can, I will, I must. You see it on a lot of things. I can do it. I will do it. I must do it. Why? Because I don't want to get to the end of 2022 and just arrive with good intentions. I want to arrive transformed. I want to cross the threshold of 2022 into 2023 knowing that I am a different person. Why? Because I was intentional with the months and the weeks and the days of 2022. I can, I will, I must. And you know, King David wrote this. King David, in Psalm chapter 20, he wrote this. He said, may he, talking about God, may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May he grant your heart's desire and make all your plans succeed. You know, God can't make your plans succeed if you don't have any. God can't make your plans succeed if you don't have any. And notice it's not just one plan, it's plans. This means that you can be advancing in multiple areas of your life. It's not just a plan. It is the plans. It is plural. He says that let God bless the plans. Let God make your plans succeed. We know the quote from Benjamin Franklin, right? He says, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail, right? If you fail to plan, if you don't create a plan, you are planning to fail. Alan Lakin said this. He said, planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it now. Planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now. You see, just hoping and wishing and wanting for things to change in the future rarely changes the things in your future. It's whenever you begin to plan and you bring the future into the present and you say, there are some things that I can begin to do now that are going to change me and therefore change the circumstances whenever I get there. What does a good GPA consist of? What does a good GPA consist of? So let's just go through this real quick. I'm going to give you a quick little acrostic for the word plans. And as I give you this acrostic for the word plans, these are just some very practical things that you can begin to craft the game plan for you to advance this year. The P is priorities. Priorities is the what. It's the what goes into the game plan. What goes in the game plan. Now, we already know the major things. I mean, you could just say the things that we've talked about in this series. Okay, I want to get the major things are grow. That's going to go in the game plan. Give. That's going to go in my game plan. Gather. That's going to go in my game plan. But just like football, okay, in football as an offensive coach in the game plan, there's going to be running plays and there's going to be passing plays. But those are broad. Those are big. Those are very generic categories. There has to be more specific priorities that go into those bigger categories. So we're going to run. Are you going to run inside? Are you going to run outside? Are you going to run to the strong side? Are you going to run to the weak side? Are you going to run to the wide side of the field? Are you going to run to the short side of the field? There's all these things as a football coach to say, I'm going to go into, we're going to throw the ball. Okay, where are we going to attack? Are we attacking the middle of the field? Are we attacking the sidelines? Are they playing man defense? Are they playing zone defense? Are we going to work underneath? Are we going to go deep? All of these things. But what all of these things are what is our priority within the context of the bigger priority. So you can't just live saying, okay, I want to grow, okay, I want to give, and I want to gather because we have to narrow that down. What happens so many times is that this is a common thing when you start talking about advancing and you start talking about living the abundant life and you start talking about change and transformation. And I mean, if you're anything like me, there's not like two areas that need to change in my life. There's like 302 areas, right? So what happens is I start to get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed because so much in me needs to change. I get overwhelmed because so many things need to be different. But hear me, you can't do everything at once. You can do multiple things, but you cannot do everything. And it's people that set out to try to do everything that I'm going to have this full-scale transformation. Those are the people that get overwhelmed and quit very quickly. See, priority is actually defined as this, giving something special attention. You can't give everything in your life special attention. Because if everything's special, then nothing is special. So you got to have something in your life that you're giving special attention to. What is special attention? That just means current importance. It's not that all the other things are not important. It's not that all these other things in my life, I don't want them to change and I'm going to need to work to them sometime. But no, my priority right now, the thing that is of current importance and the thing that I'm giving special attention to is this. You see, priorities that we're talking about, really narrowing them down, is what keeps our game plan from being broad and vague. Now, and hear me very clearly. If your game plan to advance is broad and vague, then you are going to be ineffective and take no action. I'm going to say that again. if your priority, if you have just broad and vague, it's going to cause you to be ineffective. Why? Because you're not going to take action, because you're not going to know where to start. So this is the things that people say. Now, we've all said these things, and it sounds really good, okay? But I'm just going to tell you, it's a trap. It's a trap, and it keeps you from moving forward. For somebody in the room today, this is going to be like an aha moment, and today, like, everything in your life is going to start making sense, and you're going to begin to really transform and really move forward just based off of what I'm about to share with you right now. Because this is what people say. People say, I want to love God more. That sounds really good. Is there anything wrong with saying that? No. But how are you going to do that? Because there is 27,463 things that you could do to love God more. Which one are you going to choose? I don't know. I just want to love God more. So you spend your life trying to do 27,462 things, and then you never do one. Because 27,640, I don't even know the number I picked. It's so big that you can't do them all. And while it sounds good to say, I want to love God more, I haven't broken it down to a specific priority. So therefore, I don't know what I'm actually going to do that. But I feel better about myself because I've got good intentions to love God more. I want to be a better giver. Okay, great. What are you going to do that? I want to be a part of community. Okay, there's hundreds of ways to make that happen. Which way are you going to choose? When it gets broad and vague, we get ineffective because we don't take action. And the whole idea to get in a great stance is for us to be able to take action, for us to begin to move forward. And so we got to understand there has to be a game plan, and the game plan involves priorities. What is most important to me right now? What am I going to do about this desire that I have? So let's just break it down. Let me give you a practical example. You want to love God more. Awesome. How about this? I want to practice giving God 5 minutes of every day. I want to give God 5 minutes of every day. That's my priority. Why? Because I'm not giving God any time in my day right now. I want to. I've got an intention to love God more. Okay, let's give him 5 minutes of every day. I want to be a better giver. Okay, how about this? How about we break it down? We say, I want to provide uniforms for 10 students in 2022. 10 students, I want to put a uniform on. That's what I want to do. How about be a part of a community? I want to attend a community table once a month. All you're doing is taking these things that can be broad and vague, which is going to lead you to be ineffective, which is ultimately going to lead you to be frustrated. This is why so many people set goals and they quit, okay, and they give up on them because they don't understand their goals, their priorities. They're way too big. They're way too vague. That leads me to be ineffective, which then leads me to be frustrated, which then leads me to walk away and quit. So I live my whole life wanting to love God more and never really figuring out how to do that. I want to give, but I don't really know what. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I want to be a part of community, but God, there's so many options. I don't know which one to choose, and we choose nothing. There's got to be important. What is of current importance right now? Right now, what is your priority? What are you going to give special attention to? I mean, even Jesus alludes to this, right? In Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Seek first his way of doing things. What is Jesus giving us? Just priority. He's saying, is it going to be important that you eat? Yeah. Is it important that you have something to drink? Yeah. If you don't eat, you don't drink, you die. So it's important, right? Jesus is not saying that those things are not important, but he's giving us a prioritization and saying, listen, this is what you need to do first. You need to seek the kingdom of God. It's first. Jesus understood priorities. Here, the L is for layout. Layout. Layout is how the game plan gets done. It's how things fit into your schedule. There's just a general rule that you can live by, and it is this. If it doesn't make it to the calendar, it doesn't make it to your life. Real simple. If it doesn't make it to your calendar, it doesn't make it to your life. Most people in this room right now, We have somebody in our lives that we're intending to have lunch with. We have somebody that we're intending to call. We have somebody that we have We have intended, right? Everybody in this room has somebody we said, oh man, I want to go to, I'm intending to connect with this person. I'm intending to have them over. There is an intention there. But if it doesn't make it to the calendar, it doesn't make it to our life. I saw a great quote the other day. It said, don't think it, ink it. Don't just think it. Don't just have the intention. Actually put it on paper. Put it in your schedule. Put it in your calendar. Get it on the schedule. Write it down. Because I'm telling you, the last few years, one of the things that has been the most transformative in my life is a few years ago, I started journaling on a regular basis. It was transformative. The process of writing down what was in my head and putting it on paper has been transformative to me. It has been the greatest experience for me. As I write down every day three things that I'm grateful for, I write down my three goals for 2022, my three goals for this week, and then I just write down three thoughts that I'm having. They can be random thoughts. They can be thoughts that I've been having yesterday, things that I've been thinking about since I woke up. There's nothing profound about them. They are completely unfiltered, and I just write those three thoughts down. It has been amazing what this experience of having gratitude, focusing on these goals, these things that are important to me, and then just capturing my thoughts on paper, getting them out of my head and onto paper. I cannot even describe to you how much it has helped me and transformed me. And just writing it down, get it not just on paper, those things that are important, but getting things in our schedule. So then let's just take it to the next step. Because we got our priorities. Our priorities said, okay, I want 5 minutes with God. Okay, the layout is this. Okay, when are those 5 minutes going to happen? Right? When are those five? Okay, you say, okay, first thing in the morning. Okay, great. First thing in the morning. Let's put that in our calendar. Right after your alarm, 5 minutes with God. Set all the alerts you possibly can. All right? And then what you need to have is a plan B, because you know you're going to hit snooze at least one day this week, and it's going to really mess you up. So you need a plan B. When is your plan B for those 5 minutes? At lunchtime, after work, before you go to bed, you need a plan B for those 5 minutes a day, right? When are you, or how are you going to give the money for 10 uniforms? That's $250. How are you going to do that? That's $25 a week for 10 weeks. Okay, so how are you going to do that? Okay, well, I'm not going to go out to lunch on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to bring my lunch from home, and boom, there you go. You got $25 a week, and you say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. This is my commitment sacrifice for the next few weeks. I'm going to do that for 10 weeks so that I can have the $25 to put a uniform on a kid. I'm going to do that for 10 kids. That's half a classroom that you personally could put a uniform on this year. Why? And how do you do it? Just because you had a plan. Just because you had a plan. You didn't just say, I want to give more. You had a plan, and then you had, I need to lay out that plan. How's that going to happen? Lay out your thoughts, lay out your opportunities, lay out your fears, lay out your obstacles, lay out your strengths, lay out your weaknesses, lay out your future. Get things out of your head and write them down. Listen, that's what David did in the Psalms. If you are a Bible reader, you have been blessed by reading the Psalms. Why? Because David recorded his personal therapy for all of us. He was just writing for each and every one of us because we feel what he feels. He was down on the dumps. He was on the mountaintops and everything in between. He had good days and he had bad days, and he wrote about it all. And now we benefit. But let me tell you, before we ever benefited, he was benefiting of getting what was out of his head and getting it on paper. And then he could see what he was writing and saying, I believe this to be true. Times are tough right now, but God, you are still good. And even though I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because God, I know that you are with me. You are my rod and my staff. You protect me, and you will prepare a table in front of me, in front of my enemies for me. I mean, this is the thing that he was writing down. He was counseling himself because he was getting what was out of his head on paper. David's writings transform you. You know what? Your writings will do the same for you. It'll help transform you. You got to lay it out. Here's the A. The A, as we're moving forward, the A for our plans is accountability. Accountability is who helps the game plan get accomplished. Now, it's way easier to have secret plans for personal transformation. I mean, it's way easier. You got secret plans for your personal transformation that you don't have to tell anybody about. But how many of you know the easiest roads don't always lead to the best places. Now, whenever people hear the word accountability, many times they freak out, right? I'm not going to have somebody come knocking on my front door at 10:30 at night. You know, no, that's not what accountability is. Accountability is not somebody barging into your life to check on you. Hear me. Accountability is your system to check on yourself. Accountability is not somebody busting up into your life. Accountability is you inviting somebody into your life because you know you need a system to check on yourself. Accountability should provide three things. Real quickly, first, accountability should provide inspiration. It should provide inspiration. Inspiration, because when you tell somebody you're going to do something, and you know they're going to ask you if you did that thing that you told them you were going to do, how many understand? You're more likely to do it. That's why it's really good if you want to start working out at the gym, if you have a buddy, you say, hey, I'm going to meet you at the gym tomorrow at 6:15. Because you know they woke up and they're going to be there at 6:15. So whenever your alarm goes off at 5:45 and you have that thought about just hitting snooze, oh, I could get that workout in later today, which you know you're not going to get that workout in later today. I could get it later today. You know, before you hit snooze and sleep through, you're going to go, oh, wait a minute. No, Susan is going to be there. She's waiting on me. Jim's going to be, he's all, Jim. See, Jim's at the gym. Jim is already at the gym. He's going to be waiting. So what is that? It's inspiration. It inspires me to get up and get moving because I know I promised them that I would be there. Accountability provides inspiration for you because you don't want to look at somebody and tell them because painful, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. So in the moment, it inspires me. Not only that, it also brings correction. So it brings inspiration and it brings correction. And I don't mean correction like they're necessarily correcting you. It's just course correction. Because whenever you're not doing what you said you were going to do, then the question comes, okay, well, what's going on? Why are you not doing that? It allows me to diagnose and adjust my current plans so I can course correct. It brings correction towards my goal. The last thing that it brings is it brings encouragement. Accountability brings encouragement. It's not judgment. It's not about somebody judging you. It's about somebody being on the journey with you. Right? They're not there to tell you how bad you're doing. They're there to help you get better. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 4. He says, two are better than one. Because if one falls, somebody is there to help them get up. It makes sense. Two is better than one. So if we're going to go on this journey of advancing, if we're going to advance into abundance, guess what? We need a partner walking with us because two is better than one. So in your plan, you need accountability. The N in plans is this. It's the when. It's the when we start the game plan. When we start the game plan. How many things have we intended to do tomorrow? I know it gets personal, people, but it's personal for us all. Nobody's picking on you today. How many things have we intended to start on Monday? Right? We've intended. But you know what? Your game plan doesn't wait on one day. Your game plan likes 2 days. It doesn't like waiting on one day. One day, your game plan doesn't wait. No. Your game plan likes today. Love what Ogmandino says. He says, tomorrow is only found in the calendar of fools. Tomorrow is only found in the calendar of fools. Jesus said it this way. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't get so caught up in tomorrow that you don't say, what is my game plan for today? What is my plan for this moment? General George Patton said, a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. This is what people do. People say, oh, I just need a little more information. I just need a little more time. I just need to do a little more research on that best workout plan. I just need to do a little more research on the best shoes that I can run. I promise you, your shoes will let you walk around the block. But I'm just saying, I got to do a little more research, right? I got to find the perfect accountability partner. I got to find the perfect. Guess what? The perfect doesn't exist. So just start now. Just start now. A good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. Why? Because there is no perfect plan tomorrow. That's why we start now. Don't wait. The time is never perfect. And it leads us to the S of plans, and the S is success. And the success, this is why we game plan. Now, there's a definition for the word success that I really like, and it's favorable outcome. Don't we all want a favorable outcome in our lives? Don't we want that to be true for us and for our families? So back to Proverbs 21. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Good planning and hard work, it leads to successful condition. It leads to thriving. It leads to flourishing. It leads to abundance. But hasty shortcuts, they lead to poverty. Hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I told you a moment ago, my life is infinitely better today because I started journaling really consistently about 3 years ago. Here's the thing. People have told me to journal forever. I had read from Warren Buffett to all the most successful people. And you know what they say? They say, write your goals down every day. You know what I said? That's stupid. Those goals aren't going to change. I know those goals. Why would these smart dudes waste all that time every day? Then I started actually doing it. I said, oh, that's why those guys do that. Because it keeps me focused. Keeps it in my priority lane. It keeps me laying out my day so I'm moving in the right direction. Forces me to be accountable because I know I'm going to write that down every day. And even me personally, I'm going to be accountable what I did yesterday to move me towards that goal. And you know what? It definitely keeps me in the now. Because I can't say next year. I can't say next decade. These are things that I want to accomplish now. So I can't wait. It's about now. It's about now. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to take some shortcuts. And I didn't realize that by trying to take shortcuts to get where I needed to go, I was insufficient. That's what the word means. We talked about it. I was deficient in some things that I really needed to get me where I wanted to go. And sometimes we get frustrated because we hear about what God says is possible in His Word, and we don't see that possible in our lives, and we don't realize that the reason why we're not seeing what He promised is not because His promise is not good, but because we don't have a good plan. We don't have a good plan. And I find myself like the one servant getting something from God and going, well, I don't really know what to do with this. I'm not going to take the time to create a plan. I'm just going to bury this in the ground and hope for the best. I'm just going to hope money starts coming up, you know, like a little plant. I can start picking some silver and gold. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't have a plan. And we try to take some shortcuts. And then we don't have what we need. When the scripture says, hey, good planning and hard work, it's going to lead to this place of a successful condition. Doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be perfect. I mean, the world's going to be perfect. No, it's going to mean that what's happening on the inside of you, that you are thriving and flourishing, and that what's happening on the inside of you is going to bleed out to those people around you. See, we want to live in that condition. We want to live in that condition. The question becomes, will you go through the discomfort and inconvenience of creating a game plan to advance? Because you're going to actually have to sit down and do this. Right? It's like, you got to sit down and go, what are your priorities? You got to write that down. How are you going to make that happen? That's the layout. You got to write it out. You got to put pen on paper. Or type it if you want to. But you got to do something. You got to lay it out. If you're really serious about advancing into that, what you wrote down, your priorities, you'll get some accountability because it's your plan to check on yourself. And if it's really important to you, like what priority means, important then you're going to do it now. You're not going to wait. I'm not going to wait till later. I'm going to do it now. Why? Because I want success. I want that successful condition. I want that favorable outcome. That's what I want in my life. And because of that, we create plans. We create the game plan to advance. And we do it because we want that more than we want the convenience. We want that more than we want, more than we want what we have right now. We want to grow. We want to expand. We want to advance. Is it going to take time? Is it going to be inconvenient? Is it going to get uncomfortable? Hear me. It gets uncomfortable when you start writing down where you are and comparing it to where you want to go. That gets uncomfortable. But it is the only way. Be willing to inconvenience yourself to write some things down. Be willing to go through the discomfort of the process so that you can have what God said you could have. It's possible. It's possible. You know, we close out every one of our services here with a little lead acrostic, because if we're going to advance, we know we've got to lead ourselves well. And that acrostic just stands for, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then are we doing it again? The learn today is that good intentions are not enough to advance. We need a plan. Man, I wish good intentions were enough. Man, if good intentions were enough, woo, I'd be crushing life right now. Because I am full of good intentions. Now, you know, I found too, this is just a side note. I might not even give this to 11:15, so you might be the only ones that get this week. Have you ever found that your spouse doesn't really care about your good intentions? You know, whenever I do something and I tell Destiny, well, I didn't intend to hurt your feelings. I didn't intend. I mean, I've got the best of intentions. You know what I found? She don't care. The only thing she's looking for is, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I don't want to do that again. She don't care about my good intentions. You know the hard truth? Life doesn't care about your good intentions either. Doesn't care about your good intentions. Life is waiting for your action. It's waiting for your plan. The evaluate is this. Do you currently have a clear written game plan to advance your life in the areas of growing, giving, and gathering? The application just follows that evaluation. Develop a written game plan to advance. What are you going to do to advance and grow? What are you going to do to advance and give? What are you going to do this year to advance and gather? And then the D is always the same. Just do it again. Just keep doing it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.